still and know I am God. Be still and know I am God. Be still and know I am. Be still and know I. Be still and know. Be still and be
I didn't know this when I told Mike that the theme of tonight's talk was going to be the word be, because I'd transferred through 750 different choices today. And I like the way that played out because it implies that if nothing comes to me, we're content with just being together. I love that. It's a freedom. And I love each one of you and the way you've built into my life in the 2 days we've been here. Thank you. I'm starting at the beginning again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the place of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In the beginning, love created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of love was hovering over the face of the waters. I'm sort of warming myself up. This is a quotation from Richard Rohr, who has a beautiful daily meditation site. Your true self is who you are, each one of you. Your true self is who you are, and always have been in God, and at its core is love itself. Love is both who you are and who you are becoming. Like a sunflower seed that becomes its own sunflower. Most of human history has called the true self your soul, or your participation in the eternal life of God. The great surprise and irony is that you, or who you think you are, have nothing to do with its original creation or its demise. It's sort of disempowering and utterly empowering at the same time. All you can do is nurture it, which is saying quite a lot. It is love becoming love in the unique form called me. You and I are love becoming love, in a unique pattern, in a unique way, a unique growth cycle, very specifically unique, and yet very specifically identical. You are love becoming love. I'm showing some papers because someone commented after the last talk, where are your papers? I have a couple. from Albert Einstein. There are only two ways to live your life. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle. And my propose to you that we're at camp to learn the difference and to learn and be empowered to choose, to see, to acknowledge, to embody, to express, to give forth to the world the God's truth, love's truth, that each person on this planet is a miracle, as is each bird, as is each atom of seawater, as is each cloud, a perfect miracle. So, remember yesterday or whenever it was, we practiced experiencing God's presence between two different parts of ourself, whatever you choose to use. Let's do that again. Love, feel love. Can you feel the boundaries of it and the compression of it? Can you feel the energy of it? Can you realize that that love coming forth from you when you choose to share it is part of healing the planet? It's part of being Jesus to the world. I am love sharing love. I am love sharing love. With love, receiving love. It's time, my friends, in my awareness, it's time for me to share my awareness that we must leave this camp having been done with the thought process that judges, classifies, and creates a consciousness of victim, that creates a consciousness of I'm powerful and you are not, or I'm wise and you are not, or you need help and I'll sell it to you. I really have this, I'll call it a burden, and I don't mean it in a negative sense. It's a growing conviction that I didn't create. A conviction that the world is in a period of convergence. That's my language, and I don't know that you know what I mean by it, but I see old polarities of thought must come to the center. Must. Old polarities of what it meant to be a Christian. Old polarities of what it means to be wealthy, old polarities of what it means to be healthy or friendly or mother or father or daughter or son. Old polarities are being compressed. I can feel compression. It's like this, like a. And if you study the spine at all, one of the dangerous things the doctors have to deal with is compression fractures, because eventually you get this much power and something has to break. And I propose to you that we can learn here to be love uncompressed, which liberates and gives freedom and space. Which brings up an awareness I had the other night. I want to share it it doesn't particularly fit right here, but I want to share it because I need to remember it. I want to remember it. I was shown the difference between space and distance. We use them interchangeably sometimes. Okay? Would you come up here with me? Thank you. You don't know what we're going to do, do you? I don't either.
But I trust you.
Okay. Okay. If I speak of my brother as distant from me by this far, I have created you and me. If I speak of him as we are joined by a space of this much, or we are separated even by a space of 3 feet, I've included him. Can you tell the difference? One alienates. The distance between us is 4 feet, or the distance between China policy and United States policy on any topic, the distance is eons away. That's how newspapers talk about it. If I talk about it, the space that China and United States are talking about oil, the space has us both on the same page to solve an issue. Does that make any sense to anybody? Okay. So thank you for sharing my space. Okay. Yeah. I woke up with that the other night, and I haven't taken the time to really explore it, but I know it's going to be powerful for something. Okay. I also woke up remembering one of the things that I treasure that I've learned about Glenn Clark. And that was in all his humility, and he was a very humble man, according to the people I've talked to who knew him. But he crafted a consciousness, with God's help, of always going farthest out, not farther out. Our name is really important, that we go farthest out to grasp the truth of the kingdom and not get stuck tiptoeing, going a little bit farther. Okay? Would you come up? Brave guy. Okay. All right. There's a little song that I first learned at a CFO annual meeting, and if you don't know it, you'll learn it with me, right? Right. And it was being facilitated in a Devotion in Motion session led by Joyce Carol Carter. Now, that was my first meeting with Joyce Carol, and those of you who have met her, had that privilege, know that she was a very exceptionally unique, beautiful treasure of God. But she was up on a stage, and I was in the back of the room, and there were 350 people there, maybe. And she was teaching us the song, Step Into the Water. Step out a little bit deeper. Step into the water of God's love. Mike, do you know that song? Would you come? Now then, at that time, I was very, very shy. And so for me, stepping into the water was like this, if that. But Joyce, can you... Okay, so here's Joyce. Joyce, at that time, I was into labeling, and I would have labeled her a gypsy because She loved to combine bold colors that to me were not proper, but to her, she was bold, and she is teaching this song, and I'm at the very back. The men are all back at the room, at the back of the room, because they're timid too, and so Joyce is teaching. And all the men ran for the exit. And she didn't quit. Because God had sent her to lead that, because we needed that boldness. We needed that. So stand and join Mike and I and no tiptoeing. The world is done with Christians tiptoeing about God's truth. That doesn't mean we have to attack. We just have to be. Just have to be. Okay, ready? Thank you, Harrison. The world is not going to understand you if you leave this campground and go out singing that song in that way. The world will not understand you. But if you have the freedom to be bold when God asks it of you, the world will respond. Okay? Yeah. So back to Glenn Clark. One thing I loved about him was that he sought out people who were seeking out God. He sought them across any denomination lines. He sought them out across any occupation line, anything. A name would come to him, however, and he would write or contact. So he became good friends with Dr. George Washington Carver and sponsored a national meeting featuring Dr. Carver just on his own. Okay? Very bold, very bold. I believe if he were living here today, that he would connect us to the work of a Japanese scientist named Masaru Emoto. And I'm going to share about the work of Emoto because it's distinctly applicable to us being conscious and with the ability to choose to be love in the world when it's not popular, okay? Dr. Emoto, as I shared, is a scientist and became fascinated and I believe convicted to explore the makeup of water. Okay? The reason it's important to me, one of many reasons, is because quantum physicists now are saying that you and I are at least 65% water. Some say 90%. I don't know what's true. Maybe it differs on whether you're dehydrated or not. I don't know. But the truth is that without holy healing water, we die. Because 65% of every cell and the space around every cell is water, demands water. Okay? Joe Hackinson, would you come here for a minute? Just for a minute. You, Joe. I'm picking Joe because he's tall. I want to show people what 65% looks like. Would you come up, Carol Ann? Yeah. Now, I'm guessing. I'm not a mathematician. Help her, please. But this is Joe, right? He is the size he is, right? And about 65% is Carol Ann, right? Much of Joe is water. All right, you got it. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. So, Dr. Emoto created, with God's help, a process of examining water by taking a drop of water, or taking water and freezing it, and then with a special microscope and special science process that I don't have a clue about, he photographed water and the effects of water on water of the thoughts we think. And so I'm going to show you some of those thoughts. The results of these thoughts, because it directly relates to how we pray. Okay? So, where are we with that? The first one? Okay? He was wondering about the power of how we think. How does it affect us in our body? The one on the left is with a statement, "You're beautiful." What he did finally, he took water and put it in clear crystal container, and then he typed different messages or hand wrote different messages in different languages and taped them so the water could read the vibration of the words that were on the glass. The glass on the left, the crystal, is "You are beautiful." Now think about it. When you looked in the mirror and combed your hair today, did you say to the 65% of you, or did you think to the 65% of you, "You're beautiful as a child of God"? If you did, your cells look like that, okay? And this one on the right sounds like a prayer group statement sometimes. It's going to be all right. Whatever's going on, God's in charge. It's going to be all right. Next one. The cells on the left, that's a picture of water that was ignored. And it's like, you don't matter much. Sometimes I can remember ignoring my kids, or my husband, or myself. And the cells in my body responded like that. Okay? This one on the right was exposed to the statement, "It's hopeless." Think what happens. You're into the doctor's office, you've had an examination, and the doctor comes out and says, "It's hopeless." And your cells respond by turning like this. Okay? Next. The top one, "I can do it. With God's help, I can do it." He says, "Start a prayer group. I can do it." He says, "Go to the store. I can do it." He says, "Smile at the stranger at the bus station. I can do it." and every cell in your body responds instantly like that. The longest he ever had, well, he had some water exposed for 12 hours, but most of it was less than 3. Doesn't take long. The water in your cells reads what's happening out there like that and responds beyond our consciousness to give us strength and beauty or despair and hopelessness. And this one, I don't remember what that one said. Just a minute. I thought I took in a better picture. Sorry. Oh, that is the picture of hopelessness. You aren't ever going to get well if the 65% of you is doing that. Hopelessness. So think about the people in your life that you're praying for right now. And if you've prayed from an attitude of hopelessness, change it like that, or ask God to help you change it tonight, because you need to quit poisoning them and calling it good that you prayed. Okay? It's like putting out ant poison. Okay, is there another one? Okay. Yeah, that's another one of I can do it. I can do it. If God asks me to go to Russia, which he did, and stand on a corner, which he did not, but if he asks me to stand on a corner like this for 16 hours, I can do it. Okay? All right, next one, please. Okay. Heavy metal music. This is box air for the G string and Edelweiss. That's why you love the song Edelweiss. It's creating good stuff in you. Thank you. You make me sick. I'm going to kill you. Love and appreciation. And we have the next one is love and gratitude. Because in this particular book, Emoto has written probably 7 to 10 books. I don't know. They're all beautiful. I could only find this one this trip. And I'll leave it here for you to look at. This one takes his experiments into the laboratory of prayer. And in the laboratory of prayer, two words created the most beautiful crystal that he's photographed. And this is it. The words are love and gratitude. He experimented with all kinds of words that we would use. But love and gratitude in combination created the most exquisite crystal. And he took that into experimenting with prayer. And he sent a team, 200 people, to Galilee. And he stayed in Tokyo with his little tumbler of water on his desk, and he had a timed experiment where at a very specific time, acknowledging the time differences between the nations, the group of people in Galilee would pray a very simple prayer for the water in Tokyo. And the water in Tokyo produced this crystal. It was regular Tokyo tap water, which by its own doesn't form any crystals because it has so much chlorine in it. Okay, think of your community drinking water that has fluoride in it, a known poison. Yeah, I won't say any more about that. Okay. This is the prayer he taught. Very simple. He wanted something that was uniform. Sounds like Glenn Clark. Very methodical in his experiments. Very structured. Very organized. This was his prayer. From Galilee to Tokyo, 6,200 miles at a specific time. Water, I love you. Water, I thank you. Water, I respect you. And the water changed from ugly, unformed crystals and formed beautiful crystal. So then he did an experiment using that same prayer. He wanted it simple so it could be repeated and remembered, okay? And it worked because it was tested. So he had a prayer group holding hands around a tumbler of water in the center of the group. It's the same prayer. Water, I love you. Water, I thank you. Water, I respect you. And half beautiful crystals formed. And then he noticed when he experimented with children that the children, Japanese children, were praying like this. And so he said, I'll test that too. So he tested a tumbler of water and people praying in unison, the same prayer followed by quiet, by stillness. And that particular prayer turned out the most exquisite crystals. And so he says, I'm still experimenting with that. But I think that what this posture does, at least for me, he said, it helps me focus and keeps me from getting distracted by other people in the circle. And that energy coming into the water transforms it into glory and beauty. Think of how this world would be different if every prayer group that you're in prayed for each person, for the water in each person, 65% of them, or 90. Water, you're praying, water, I love you. In fact, join me, stand and join me, and we'll pray for ourselves. Just easy, relax. We're going to use the word water, but your thought is the water in you, the water you are, the Holy Spirit juice you are in the world. Join me. Water, I love you. Water, I thank you. Water, I respect you. Amen. Thank you. At about the same time I became aware of Emoto's work, it was like I was on a lazy Susan, slowly revolving with exposure to many things. And I became interested in quantum physics and started researching that and learning a little bit about that. At least I can spell it now. And but that's part of the convergence that I shared. It's like the science is now verifying what religion has said all these years, and science is dependent on religion interpreting it. It's a beautiful partnership. Until you think it's a war. Okay? Beautiful partnership. But I started exploring quantum physics, and I started looking again at prayer, and I started looking at the healing process and how those three dynamics are changing the way we think about healing in our world. And I was led to a process of healing, a modality, that was birthed by a Dr. Lloyd, and I was fascinated with his work. And I went online to Amazon to look for books or something that he'd written, and I saw along that little strip in the back, books you might be interested in. And here is a book by a Dr. Brad Nelson. Well, something clicked for me because Dr. Brad Nelson had been my chiropractor in California when I lived there. And I didn't know he'd written a book, but I ordered it. And since then, I've gone through his training process, a 2-year process, to become trained as a practitioner in his convergence work. And I think it's the work of the future. He said he started to create it because he got fed up as a chiropractor with always treating the same people for the same issue. They'd come in with a back pain or an elbow pain or an eye pain or something or other, and it would get fixed in his office, but then a week or two or a month later, they'd come back with the same issue. So he spent many years figuring out why doesn't what we're doing fix it or heal it or release it or do something long term. And what he learned, and science has verified, is that the healing process, this is the same I think as scripture says, the healing process involves letting go and getting rid of stuff more than it does taking in more of something or fixing it. It means letting go of whatever the cause is so that the body can heal itself. Because your body is fueled, created by, has all the instrumentation, all the connection, all the systems to be a self-healing machine. That's why you read in the scripture that so-and-so was 800 years and so-and-so was 900 years. They didn't change how they measured years, but something changed. And we live in a culture now that, as you know, isn't designed to keep us healthy. Our culture is designed to add stress. Our culture is designed to create stress. Our culture is designed to feed us poisons like fluoride everywhere you turn around. Fluoride comes from, I think, five different sources. One of them is atomic bomb material. It's not good for us or any living thing. That's just an example. But if you went into a store and started reading labels, if you went to Walmart and read toothpaste labels, you have a hard time finding the one or two that do not have fluoride in them. So anyway, I started studying. A friend and I started studying for what this work could do. And because your body is designed so that your unconscious mind is 95% of you, and your conscious mind is, we use 5%. They say Einstein used 8. Now, I don't know how they measured that. But you and I don't get close to that usually. But even if we did, the other 92% is unconscious to us. And that's where we store things like unhappy memories, pain, shock, definitions, the sticks and stones that we were told would never hurt us. No, they don't hurt us, they kill us. The words, the thoughts behind the words we pick up. I told you I used to be real shy as a kid. Part of it was because I knew what people were thinking. And as a child, I didn't know that it was my job to sort that out and let it be their problem. I absorbed it all as I was wrong, or I was not enough, or I would never be good enough. Thank you, Alan. And so I internalized that, and I closed up like a clam. Actually, I hid behind my birth. I'm born in July, and so I'm a Cancer. So I hid behind, well, it's just natural because I'm a crab and I run back here. No, I was hiding because I was creating those negative cell pictures because I was interpreting things through my negative message board. And I would propose to you that each person here has a negative message board. And we are the product of our many years, days, I think of days. We just had a family birthday party for several in our family, and part of that celebration was Alan's and my 58th anniversary. So one of the things given to us was a hand-scripted little message, you know, 58 years, 20 trillion, 300 seconds, or whatever it was, all these little math equations. And then down at the bottom it said, and no stabbings yet. Isn't that wonderful? No stabbings yet. So anyway, that is what I'm doing now, is that work called the body code. I like it for many reasons. One, it depends on the client's body to reveal what needs to be released, and then it reveals how to release it. And when you release the source of your headache, you don't have headaches. And when you release the source of a gimpy ankle, your ankle heals. It's like watching miracles every day. I love it. So that's what I'm doing now. And at the same time, I'm teaching people this information about you must change how you think of yourself. You must think how you pray for yourself. You must think how you're praying for the environment, how you are praying for peace, if you are. If you're praying for peace in the world, like I have it many times, but deep inside my subconscious mind, I have this picture, it's hopeless, it's hopeless, it's hopeless. Guess which one is the prayer? Hopeless is the prayer. And I'm just spinning my wheels trying to be a good girl. And I'm saying to you today, it's time for us to get off that wagon. It is time for us to accept, as Glenn Clark did. He spent 10 years in a severe depression, during which time he challenged and tested every promise in this book. At the end of that time, he had found every promise to be true, and so he set his whole life intention to create ways for other people to find out it's true. And that's what we're here for at this camp, is to do the very same thing. If you have a question about a fact in this book, do your homework, okay? Because you are a witness for the negative unless you are established in the positive. And I would say to you that you're all here because God chose you to be here, because he needs you to be here, because he needs his people to take a next step to being his love on this planet rather than his judge. He doesn't need you to be the judge. He needs you to be his love on this planet, sparkling with iridescent water globules inside your 65% that make you strong enough to go forth when he says go forth, to stand when he says stand, to be the water. Bruce Lee, the very famous Kung Fu or something or other, what was Bruce Lee? I don't know. But he was, he didn't come from a religious standpoint. He came from his physical training exploit consciousness. And he wrote, be the water. Be the water. Be love and gratitude. Be beauty. Be peace. Be joy. Be. Mike, would you lead us through that song one last time as we close, please? Be still. And know. Be still and take a breath and know. And give God permission. If your knowing isn't very deep yet, give him permission to make it clear for you. Be still and know.
Be still.